Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you here this evening. Those that were not able to be here this morning, we're grateful that you are out and about this evening and able to worship with us. Those of you that are visiting, we're grateful that you have come back to be with us and worship with us tonight. And we pray that the things that have been done so far this evening have been in accordance with God's will, but that you've also been able to participate with us. That last song, number 421, Sweeter Than All, is actually the title of our lesson this evening. As I have said that in the past, from time to time, we'll look at some of the songs that we sing. I want to thank Tyler for leading that. He saved me from having to lead it. He actually learned this song this afternoon for the first time. We went through it one time this morning. He picked it up and he practiced it this afternoon, did an excellent job with it. It's an old song. It's a favorite song of mine in the fact that, did I say Ryan or did I say Tyler? I said Tyler, didn't I? Okay, get the right name here. I get the brothers flip-flopped every now and then. But this song is one that when I look at it and think about it, it elicits some feeling from me. I think about everything that Christ has done. And I think about everything that he did on my behalf, on the world's behalf, and our behalf. And I think about the words, and then I think about what Paul said about singing with the Spirit and singing with the understanding. And I just want to examine the words of this song for a little bit this evening and give you a little history on the background of it. But I want to give you a passage of Scripture to go along with this to start out with. And you'll find that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. That sounds familiar, I'm sure, because, again, I had this lesson prepared for this week, and Brother Shane Carrington preached from 1 Peter chapter 1 this past week, and this was part of what he looked at. But it's talking about Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And I think about the words of the song, Sweeter Than All, the world to me. And that should be this, that, never having met Jesus face to face, never having met my Savior, my life should be lived and should be full of joy. And I rejoice, and so do you, with joy inexpressible, and understand that you live a life that is full of glory. This song has a long and a somewhat illustrious background to it. You think about if you got your songbooks and you want to open them to 421, you'll notice the authors and those who penned this and those who wrote the arrangement for this. But this song is a song which describes the kind of love and joy that we have because Jesus is sweeter than all. I look at this song. The text was written by Johnson Oatman in 1865 to 1922. This song identifies some of the blessings for which we have and which we should be rejoicing in because we are in Christ Jesus. But when I think about Johnson Oatman Jr., I think about some of the songs that he wrote along with this one, that some of the very popular songs that we still sing today. It's interesting that sometimes some of the old songs, some of the old, what we might call classic songs, are some of the most popular songs that are still sung today, even though they're over 100 years old. We think about that. Count your blessings. And we do that all the time, don't we? We sing that song, and we sing that song with a smile on our face, and we sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. You think about Hand in Hand with Jesus. Or how about Higher Ground? One of my favorite songs. I've already told my wife that when I die, if she's still alive, I want that song sung at my funeral. Because that's where I want the Lord to plant my feet, is on higher ground. I'll Be a Friend to Jesus. The Last Mile of the Way. What shall it profit? What shall it profit a man if he loses his soul and gains the whole world? Gains the whole world and loses his own soul. You think about some of the songs. We sing songs and we sing them for a reason. We're commanded in the New Testament to sing, but we're also supposed to pay attention to the words, and they should just that. They should elicit some sort of, not necessarily emotion or feeling, but they should bring to mind something that draws us closer to God. And yes, these songs, they're not inspired, you know, they're heavenly inspired, but they have heavenly messages in them, or should have heavenly messages in them. And we teach and admonish one another in these psalms and these hymns and these spiritual songs. And sometimes we just go through them and like, well, that's the normal worship for us. I don't want us to do that. Every song that we sing, pay attention to the words, because they will have special meaning. Howard Entwistle, J. Howard Entwistle, was the composer and publisher of this song. He was a 19th century musician. He was a songbook compiler from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, especially in the 1890s. But Sweeter Than All was first published in Make His Praise Glorious, compiled in Chicago in 1900 by Edwin O. Excel. The cyberhymnal.org, you can go there and you can look up just about any song that's been written out there that from the past. And what you'll find is this 9 song credited to Entwistle. This one, 2 for which he provided the text, 3 with words from another very popular person that wrote songs, Fanny J. Crosby, 1 each with words from Birdie Bell and Harriet E. Jones, and another one texted with Oatman himself. Now, this is not to just heap praise upon these men, but it is to understand that many of these people, when they're writing their songs, they have their eyes focused somewhere else, not here in the world, but upward. And that makes me think of the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, when he writes to them about keeping their eyes fixed on a heavenly goal. And sometimes the songs that we sing, I believe, should help us in that manner. So the scripture reading this evening is going to come actually out of one of these verses of this song, and I want you to, we'll get to it here in just a minute, but we're going to go stanza by stanza here this evening and look at the song, and then the lesson will be yours. I know that we sang these words, but that first verse in that song, Christ will me his aid afford, never to fail, never to fail, while I find my precious Lord, sweeter than all, sweeter than all. And think about it for just a moment. What has Christ done? I think in terms of aid, I think of immediately of disaster relief. You think about what's taken place within the United States within the last couple of months with the hurricanes that have hit Harvey and Irma and then in Puerto Rico just recently. And you think about all of the things that's been done. What is being given to those individuals in need? There is aid being sent to those individuals. And I think about what Christ will me his aid afford. And think about what he has done in the lives in each and every one of us. For just a second, think back to that time before you decided to follow Jesus. Think back to what your life was without him, and then when you learned what he did for you and how it moved you. I think about the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And I think about Peter preaching on that day and it pricking the hearts of those there in that audience. And 3,000 people responded to that message. On that day, Jesus Christ became sweeter than all to those people. 3,000 souls were baptized that day. And in Acts chapter 2, what I also see are individuals then that continued daily in the apostles' doctrine, in their teachings, you know, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. I see them continuing from house to house with one another and being with one another, all because of what Jesus Christ did. We talk all the time about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We don't think of those. I'm afraid sometimes we don't think of what he did in these terms. Christ will me his aid afford. Sometimes when I growing up as a child and when I obeyed the gospel, I don't remember actually thinking about aid. I remember thinking about what Christ did, but not in the form of aid to me. But not only that, I see in Scripture and I see in the Word of God that as I continue to grow, or as we continue to grow as children of God, that aid is there and it continues in our lives. It's not just a one-time thing. Remember, I mentioned this morning the Apostle Paul and the thorn in his flesh. The Apostle Paul had a thought process there of, when I am weak, then I am strong. But the only way that that is even possible in the life of any individual is understanding that his strength is not his own. He was receiving aid from the Lord, wasn't he, on a daily basis. This morning I mentioned about how some people will say, well, God is my co-pilot. And I said in the lesson this morning, well, you're in the wrong seat if God is your co-pilot. You can say the same thing about Jesus Christ in your life, and individuals have said that about him. But you think about that. If he's the co-pilot, you're in the wrong seat. You're not receiving properly the aid that he afforded you through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. I think about this, and I think about Hebrews chapter 2 and 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are being tempted. He went through. Here's part of this aid right here. That you consider that Jesus Christ left heaven, took on the form of man, for a while was in the flesh, and what did he do? He experienced things the same way that we experienced them, didn't he? Remember having to memorize verses in Bible class when you were young? Did your Sunday class teacher ever give you the option to choose what verse you wanted to memorize? How many of you were like me? Jesus wept. I can remember the first verse. That was so easy. Took the easy way out for that particular assignment. I remember that. But he experienced emotion like we did. He experienced hardship. He had aches and pains, and he had the physical maladies that we could have. But you think about that. He, through his suffering, is able to aid those who have been tempted. He was tempted by the devil. Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, he was tempted by the devil. He is able to aid those who are tempted. Because why? He experienced that. He overcame that. He showed us how. His aid is immeasurable when we start thinking about what he did. His purpose in providing this aid for us was so that we never need fall. The editor of Sacred Selections changed this phrase to read, "Whene'er I call, whene'er I call." Probably because he thought it sounded like the false doctrine of the impossibility of apostasy at the time. But you think about these words. If we are in Christ, if we are using the aid that he has provided us, then we are less likely going to stumble. We are less likely going to fall, aren't we? We're not perfect individuals. I understand that. But I look at this, and I see what was stated right here. But the song does not say that a Christian cannot fall, but only that Christ has made provisions to help us that we will never fall or stumble. And I want you for just a moment, if your Bibles are open, open them to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to read a few verses with me, because these verses right here tell us the aid of the aid and what we can do through our Savior to help us never stumble. We have the Word of God, the inspired Word. It provides us, you know, maybe you've heard the acronym used for the word Bible, Basic Information Before Leaving Earth. Maybe you've heard that before. Well, believe me, it gives us a little bit more than just simple basic information. It gives us a guide to life. It tells us what we can add to our faith, so that we can become stronger. The stronger we are, the less likely we are to stumble and fall. That's part of the aid that Jesus has given us. I look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and begin reading at verse 5. It says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith knowledge, or virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and your election sure. For if you do all these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." At one time or another, we may have been on that road where we were trying to add those things, and maybe we tried to skip a step. What happens when you try to skip a step in this? You put yourself in a place to stumble. But I think of this, we can look upon our Lord as precious, can't we? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, "Therefore to you who believe, he is precious." Now, we generally say something like that to children, don't we? Grandchildren. Cindy and I, you know about Abby and Johnny. We talk about them a lot as our grandchildren. And Abby, when she was real young, we got her saying, "I'm precious." And it reminded me, because just the other day, Cindy was trying to get Johnny to say, "I'm precious." Just because we know he's precious to us. When we talk about something being precious, it has value to us. And generally, when we talk about something being precious, it has something more than just simply a monetary value. It has a value to us that we want to hold on to it, we want to keep it, and we want to make it so much a part of our lives that we don't want to let it go. And in our relationship as children of God to our Savior, he should be that precious to us. Verse 2. "I can follow all the way, hearing him call. Finding him from day to day, sweeter than all." Sweeter than all. It is this verse that our scripture reading would come from this evening. I can follow all the way. I hear Jesus crying out, or talking about to those that he was choosing as his apostles, his disciples, to come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And here's the thing. They heard him call. And what did the scripture say that they did? They left their nets and they followed him. This call is still out there in the world even today. It's still there. You can look at Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. It was, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That call is still there. We may not be hearing exactly his voice uttering those words, but those are still his words. And he's looking for disciples. He's looking for those who will follow him. And not only thinking about that in that particular way, but think about it as the great shepherd in John chapter 10. You think about what he says about his sheep. He says his sheep know his voice. He says his sheep hear him. And I think back to that first century day when reading the scriptures. And I know I can only go back there in my mind. But I just want to picture Peter and Andrew and James and John and all of the others. When Jesus is walking by them and he just says, "Come follow me." This is a song that talks about that very thing. And not just about simply following him. This song says, "I can follow him all the way. I truly believe that when I hear those words, it's more than just, we're not just going on a fun trip, but this is something that is going to be a lifelong journey. A journey that is going to require more of me than sometimes I may feel like I'm capable of giving. This is something that we must do in order to be able to truly follow Him. And what we need to do when He says, follow me, we need to count the cost. So you can look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And you can hear Him say, then He said to them, if anyone desires to come after me. And there are many people in the world today that say they have a desire to come after Him. But do they have the capability like Peter did? And even though Peter stumbled, to follow Jesus all the way? Do they have the ability like the Apostle Paul, who counted his blessings, who knew that his former life was not what it should be, and follow Christ all the way? These were men that by example made sure that they counted the cost, because when you continue reading in verse 23, it says, then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You can go into another passage in the book of Luke, and he talks about a man who was going to build a tower and he didn't finish it. What happened to that man? Well, it's obvious he ran out of money. He didn't have, but what he couldn't follow through. When we sing this song and we sing these words, I can follow all the way. What we're saying is that I am going to live in this life and I am going to follow in the footprints of Jesus, and I am going to follow Him where? All the way to the very end. We talk about individuals who leave this life, who die as children of God. And we talk about being able to see them again one day, don't we? What does that imply? In order for you to be able to see a faithful child of God again one day, you have to go through life following Christ all the way. You can't get off that narrow road one day and say, well, this road's a little bit too hard. This life's a little, it expects too much of me. If you want to follow Jesus all the way, you're going to go through the good times, the bad times, the times where it seems like everything is just on an even keel and there's nothing to get upset about, nothing to get excited about. Whatever life you face in life, you will follow all the way. I press on toward the upward call of Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means that I'm going to follow Jesus all the way. Why? Because I want to be where He is. Because we as a group are here on Sunday evening. Why are you here? You're here because you've made the choice to follow Him all the way, haven't you? What's going to be at the end of that narrow road? Eternal life. But you have to follow it all the way to get there. And so we hear Him call. And hearing those words from day to day, He becomes sweeter than all to us, doesn't He? Verse 3. Though a vessel I may be, broken and small, broken and small, yet His blessings fall on me, sweeter than all, sweeter than all. It was in July of 2015, I believe, if I've got my dates right. I stood here on a Sunday morning. I think it was the last Sunday of the month. And preached a lesson called Broken Lives Need Christ. And that's true of every single individual. We sing a song, or there's a song in our songbook that talks about us being mended and whole. And the only way that we can become mended and whole is by coming to a Savior who can heal us. I think of these words, and God wants us to cleanse ourselves from all iniquity so that we can become vessels of honor, so that we can be sanctified and useful for the Master, and so that we can be prepared for every good work. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's begin reading at verse 19 together. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are only vessels, or there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful to the Master, prepared for every good work. Christ will meet his aid afford. I will follow all the way. I can't continue to receive that aid. I can't follow all the way if I'm not prepared to become a vessel of honor. And so that means that we have to cleanse ourselves. And even like the apostles, we are earthen vessels who are broken and small. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, the apostle Paul said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Here's the reality of the matter right there. The idea that the power that is in us is not of ourselves. It has to be from God. And then at the very same time, I can count my blessings. God has showered the spiritual blessings upon us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you can look at Ephesians chapter 1, and you can see, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing." Where? In the heavenly places. But through whom? Through Jesus Christ. I can think of Paul in Philippians chapter 4. And what is one of the first verses you want to go to in Philippians chapter 4? Verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ." Go, open your Bibles and look at verse 19. And what you see there, he says, "And my God shall supply all your need according," what? "To His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." This is a beautiful song. Now, our songbook does not have... Did it have four verses? Our songbook doesn't have four verses. So this part of the lesson is free of charge. There's a fourth verse to this song. "When I reach the crystal..." Well, actually, "When I reach the crystal sea," that is in the songbook. This verse is, "When I reach the crystal sea, voices will call, but my Savior's voice will be sweeter than all, sweeter than all." You consider this. The stanza apparently uses a phrase that we see in Scripture, one that appears probably more in the book of Revelation than anywhere else in Scripture, to refer to what is before the throne of God, which symbolizes the fact that mankind will be present or in His presence. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6 speaks, "Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal." Revelation chapter 15 and verse 2 says, "And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God." In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for this first heaven and the first earth had passed away also, there was no more sea." And for just a moment, think about what heaven's going to be like. Think about the multitudes that will be singing together. When we reach that place, voices will call, because we shall be reunited with those who have died in Christ and those who have gone on before us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 expresses that to us. But the songwriter says that the sweetest voice will be that of our Savior, because we shall dwell in His presence forevermore. And that's Jesus Christ speaking to His disciples in John chapter 14. You believe in God, believe also in Me. Why? Because He was going to prepare a place for them. And He wasn't going to just prepare a place for them, but for all of those who would believe on Him. But you think about that. The reason for that, He was going to return. And He was going to take those individuals back so that they could be where He was. What makes Jesus Christ sweeter than all to you? The chorus of this song continues. Jesus is now and ever will be sweeter than all the world to me. Since I heard His loving call, sweeter than all, sweeter than all. Sunday evening, in an assembly like this, the greater majority of individuals that would be attending will be those who have already listened to the call and said, I want that Savior to be sweeter than all. But I want you to ask yourself, as we consider all that Jesus has done for us, we must consider Him sweeter than all. But what will it take? What will it take for someone else to be convinced that He is just that? That He can be sweeter than all the world to them? It takes the gospel. It's the power of that message that will convert hearts, prick hearts, to the point that they cry out, men and brethren, what must we do? So is the one who died for you, the one who shed His blood, the one who, by the power of God, was raised from the dead to be proven to be the Son of God, is He truly sweeter than all to you? If you've never obeyed the gospel, then the answer to that is no. If you strayed from Him, the answer to that is no. But you can reconcile your life to Him this very evening, this very hour, if that is your desire, and you can make Him sweeter than all in your life. How can we help you with your soul salvation this evening? We stand ready to assist you. Baptism for the remission of sins, or prayer and encouragement for someone who strayed from God, let it be known. Please, won't you come while we stand and sing?